Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
From our studios at KUOM, on the West Bank of the University of Minnesota campus, this is Culture Q, the art show that rocks. On our show tonight, Culture Yule. Good evening, and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Mark Sheely.
You know, there's dashing and dancing and prancing.
What do the holidays mean to you? Here at Culture Q, it means schmaltzy Christmas pop music in every public space, a world where Santa Claus is on the internet, and gift-giving and gift-getting disappointments. On our show tonight, Lost in a Sea of Bad Christmas Music, we have a story on one beacon of hope that came through town recently, as well as a story on what it takes to be a Santa Claus in this day and age. Also, one author will gather us around the hearth and read an excerpt of one of his books set here on the University of Minnesota campus. All those things plus more are coming up. You don't want to miss this show, so stick around. Culture Q begins right now. The holidays are a time to gather with family and friends, give and receive presents, and often avoid the radio. Aside from Radio K, of course. Christmas music invades and pervades our lives all through December, but musician Sufjan Stevens is working to revitalize the notorious carols and jingles on his newest tour. Reporter Matt Curtis explores how Stevens is bringing the Christmas spirit back in fascinating form.
Ladies and gentlemen, the holiday season is in full swing as the world prepares for a wondrous celebration of family, friends, gift-giving, and religion. And that can only mean one thing.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Radios and shopping malls around the country are saturated with the same Christmas playlist. The repetitive lines and predictable tunes ring a certain sense of nostalgia in everyone. But it's easy to get complacent in hearing these songs year in and year out in the countdown to Christmas.
But those songs, they're traditional. They're iconic, their value lasts.
In mix with the Frank Sinatras and the Perry Comos of Christmas's past, a lot of artists are creating similar interpretations of the Christmas setlist. Michael Bublé's rendition of a few classics in his 2007 album, Christmas, peaked at number one in a number of countries. I mean, Lord knows I have it.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best.
But some people believe rehashing the Christmas classics in a Rat Pack style isn't inspiring enough.
With like true original Christmas music, it gives you the sense of nostalgia that you've always had in your life. And then there's like the redone originals where you get the same feeling, but it's not quite the same. And then there's newer artists, and they try and change it and make it interesting and relevant to our times.
There is so much unique Christmas cheer all around, just not necessarily on the radar for a lot of people. For example, you won't be hearing such classics as Christmas Unicorn, Mysteries of the Christmas Mist, and Did I Make You Cry on Christmas Day? Well, you deserved it, at Macy's anytime soon. But a relentless musical genius is making Christmas cool again.
The holidays are a magical time, and nothing brings it all together quite like the perfect holiday music. But if you're like me, you're tired of looking for the best collection of Christmas music. So why not try this one? Silver and Gold. Songs for Christmas, Volume 6 through 10 by Suj Van Steven. It has a lot of Christmas songs.
A lot. Songs like Snowman the Barbarian, Turtleneck Dickie, Christmas Cucumber, Santa has Diabetes.
Sufjan's current American tour, dedicated entirely to Christmas music, the Surf Jam Stephanopoulos Christmas sing-along seasonal affective disorder spectacular music pageant variety show Disaster on Ice, is a spectacle for the soul.
And so in some strange way, I know this is probably like some weird psychedelic nightmare for some of you, but this is like a dream come true. So
this is the right spirit. We're in this together.
He's been active in the music industry for 13 years and may not be a household name for a lot of people, but he's making his voice heard using an array of carols and jingles to get the young adults of the world as festive as they were when they were half their age. inflatable Santas and balloons and bubbles and unicorns and hot dogs and chickens and Christmas accessories you'd find at your grandmother's attic, the air is rich with a strong feeling of ridiculousness and fun, and it's not hard to stop trying to look cool for a second and sing like you were caroling on your neighbor's doorstep again.
So grateful that you came tonight and that you participated in all the singing. It's such a beautiful, transcendent experience, this phenomenon of, you know, people, strangers especially, joining voices. It's a very powerful tool. And, you know, there's music all around us, and Christmas music, you know, is a real disaster. And it's so pervasive, and this can be commodified and exploited so easily. But I think when we come together and we just sing in harmony or in unison or whatever, it's a very, very beautiful moment.
So, if the chestnuts aren't roasting and the bells aren't jingling, why not spin the wheel of Christmas and fall asleep to the sound of the Christmas unicorn? Happy holidays, everyone.
We're bringing Christmas cheer on a sleigh ride from hell.
This is Matt Curtis with Culture Q.
Most of us make lists of things that we want for the holidays, but what if you found yourself on a wanted list? In this next piece, local author Ben Mulhern reads an excerpt from his debut novel about the perils of being wanted.
Hello, Radio World. My name is Ben Mulhern, and I am the author of Everybody Wants You Dead. It's the story of a fifth-year senior named Chris, a charismatic party guy who ends up in the wrong place at the wrong time, and as a result, finds himself a murder suspect. Think The Fugitive, if it were set on a college campus. Everybody Wants You Dead takes place right here at the University of Minnesota. I'm going to read the very first chapter, which takes place right after Chris has first found himself on the run. Chris Chandler was covered from head to toe in her blood. He stumbled up the steep incline, his arms thrashing in the semi-darkness for something to hold onto, a rock or a thick root. He looked up into the night. The yellow moon had sunk into the distance behind a sheet of pink and purple clouds. It looked like a blemish on the night sky, an afterthought. The university was miles behind him now, and the Minneapolis skyline had shrunk away. A vehicle drove by on the parkway 100 feet below, the first since he had been let out of Patrick's car. "Pull over right here," he had said. "This is as good as anywhere." The headlights disappeared as the car rounded the curve. With a grunt and an awkward lunge, he topped the hill and found himself on flat ground. He knelt in the mud, hands on hips. Chris coughed and wheezed. He didn't care to know what he looked like at this point. His damp tank top began to absorb the cold, and his body began to shiver. On his feet now, he leaned against a tree. Something scuttled above him. Pine dust and debris rained down onto his head. As he moved to brush it off, a sharp branch caught him along his right side. He cursed quietly and ran his finger along the fresh wound. How the hell am I going to do this? Walk around shirtless? In a blood-stained tank top? He could stick to the side streets. He could duck in and out of the shadows cast onto the sidewalk. And where would he run to? There would be an entire precinct parked outside his front door. Another would be parked outside the fraternity, and one more running surveillance on Antoine's apartment. Dave. He would call Dave. He'll pick up. He has to. He stepped over a broken branch and sat on the grounded trunk of a tree. He pulled out his damaged pack of cigarettes, removed a flattened one, and gently rolled it back to form. Chris lit up. The smoke tasted fantastic. He tried to slow his frantic thoughts. Chris had left his cell phone behind. The police had probably found it already, scrolled through the list of contacts. Paranoia surging through him, he removed a small digital camera from his pocket, scowled at the screen, and brought it down hard onto a rock. His swelling right hand stung with reverberation. The camera had not broken. Through the cracked spider web of glass, he could still see a recent photo of him and his family before Easter dinner, He smashed it again onto the rock, left-handed this time. The screen went black. Chris set his burning cigarette on the ground and flung the dead camera. He could hear it rolling downhill, through the twigs and crunching leaves. Maybe it had made it down to the Mississippi River and sunk to the bottom. Adrenaline and nicotine pinballed around his body. Do payphones even exist anymore? If he could make it to Franklin Avenue undetected, one of the gas stations would have to have a payphone. They'd have to. He began to walk toward the distant streetlight that flickered through a cluster of trees. His body went cold with realization. Abby is gone. He couldn't believe what had just happened. Abby's dead.
I want you for Christmas. I need you.
I'm Markita Fornoff, and I'm joined in studio with
Michael Potter.
And we are going to count down the top seven Christmas songs that were made but should have never seen the light of day. We'd earnestly tried to look for other terrible holiday songs, but none of them just compared.
I spent about an hour looking for a terrible Hanukkah song. There was just no bad Hanukkah and Kwanzaa songs out there.
Number 7, Alice Cooper, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
And some of the keys, he spells Claus, C-L-A-W-S.
Not only is Alice Cooper a creepy man, but he takes good old Saint Nick and turns him into a creepy man, too. That's just not something you want to see. And our number 6, it's more so something you don't want to hear, right?
Right, yeah. And it's Trains, Shake Up Christmas has probably the worst rhyme scheme in a song. You can't take December and turn it into a verb.
The full lines are, and I don't want to remember it, so let's December it and reassemble it. Oh, yeah. So it just doesn't stop there. That train kept on chugging.
All right, number 5 is Krispy Kreme with Christmas. He's an internet rap sensation. I love him. I think this is a great song. And it just leads me to wonder if he actually likes John Cena or not.
What would cause you to be curious about that in a Christmas song?
When he asks for a John Cena action figure, the watch, the poster, the lunchbox, pajamas, the list goes on. It's something.
Why does he say action figure? Is he from the South? Or wait, where does that come from?
I don't know. I think he is from the South, but he's just got an odd style of rap. And he's kind of a kid. He's young. And it just made sense in his head, I guess, when he said it.
And speaking of another young person, we have Britney Spears back when she was a hit teen sensation with My Only Wish.
I mean, it's Britney Spears. It is what it is. And it's just too much breathy sounds going on in the song.
You definitely hear the in Santa. And number 3 is ICP with Santa Claus is a Fat. We'll leave the rest up to you to decide.
Pick any word that we cannot say on the radio right now, and you could probably fill in the blank with it.
Right. Just the thought of juggalos dressing up as elves. I think that's all that needs to be said about that.
Spraying Faygo in little kids' faces while they wait online, just probably not one that should have been made. Number 2 is Lady Gaga with Christmas Tree.
Yeah, I mean, leave it to Lady Gaga to take something as innocent as a pine tree, a great northern pine, and then turn it into some sexual reference.
And how delicious her Christmas tree is. I don't expect anything less from Lady Gaga. Not something I want my kid running around singing.
Kudos to you for making that happen, but doesn't make sense.
And coming in at number 1 is Twisted Sister with Oh Come All Ye Faithful. A Twisted Christmas is the name of the album for all those out there curious, but specifically with Oh Come All Ye Faithful, they took We're Not Gonna Take It, didn't change any of the music behind it, and basically rocked out Oh Come All Ye Faithful over the song.
I'm not sure what conversation was going on at their record label, if it was like the producers being like, hey, D, you got to do this. And D was reluctant and was just like, fine, I'll do it, but I'm not writing any new music. I'm going to sing lyrics over what I have. Or Or if Dee just came to them and was like, hey, I have a great idea. It's just, we're not going to take it, but with O Come All You Faithful lyrics.
Yeah, and then it's just not, it doesn't really bring in that Christmas spirit.
And that's our top seven Christmas songs that were made but shouldn't have been. But have no fear, as we have more holiday stories and holiday cheer to come on the rest of Culture Q.
Hello, America.
Hello.
It's me, boy.
Hey, all right.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And I'm here to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Tell me when to start, I'll know it.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Can we do it in English?
Feliz Navidad. Prospero Ando
Felicidad. Feliz Navidad.
We've all been there, that excitement and anticipation in opening holiday gifts, only to be let down and crushed completely. But here at Culture Q, we wanted to hear about other people's disappointments. So reporter Alex Van Ness went around asking for our question of the week. What was your biggest Christmas morning letdown?
Well, I would say the biggest disappointment was when I walked down to the tree and my parents' friend, who was really, really wealthy, she would send me clothes. And, like, granted, they were Tommy Hilfiger, nice, so they were, like, nice clothes, but no kid wants clothes, you know? And all I wanted was, like, a new, like, giant action figure.
Getting the wrong size snowboard boots.
Getting socks when I was a little girl when I wanted a Barbie playhouse.
Well, I really wanted a bike, and I didn't get one.
A lot of times, my relatives tried to buy me clothing, and one time in high school, my great aunt bought me this, like, leopard print corset type deal.
And I don't quite remember what exactly the gift that I didn't get, or that I didn't receive, but I didn't get exactly what I wanted, so I was pretty upset.
Yeah, there was one time where I asked for a certain pair of shoes, and my mom got me a different kind that I didn't want.
I wanted one of those Furbies that had the really big eyes and the funny ears, and they moved, but my parents got me a stuffed animal instead, and I was really, really mad.
Yeah, one time my mom gave me this like opera CD because she thought I would like it, and I really didn't. And my other cousins got better presents, and I was upset.
A fake fur pink orange thing poncho.
Gave me a sweater a year or two ago, and that sweater was not the right size, so I had to take it back to the store and exchange it. But I still have it, and I really like it.
Yes, I have, and not so much for what it was. My boyfriend actually purchased me a pair of shoes that I had really been wanting, but they didn't fit. And even when I went back to the store after trying on like five different pairs of the same style, we couldn't get it to work. So I had to return them, and the money went back on his card. So
I feel like the true gift is that the person cares enough to give me a gift. And so even if it wasn't, you know, the right size or exactly what I wanted, I never felt disappointed as a child.
Things come with the gift receipt, so you can always take it back and get something else.
Who's got a beard that's long and white?
Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Who comes round on special night?
Santa comes round on special night.
Special night, beard that's white.
We've all got our go-to summer road trip playlists. Certain songs just sound better at 75 miles an hour with the windows down. But the long ride home for the holidays has a mood all its own. This story from former Culture Q producer Zach McCormick explores some choice songs for winter road trips.
Winter. It's bound to raise some mixed sentiments, even in the most die-hard Midwest boosters. The holidays are on their way, and it's finally cold and snowy enough to complain. So, how are you going to reconcile your feelings about the dark season on the long drive home over break? Well, let me suggest some musical coping strategies to soundtrack your road trip. Winter in the Midwest can be starkly, serenely gorgeous, even on its coldest days. So why cuss at Mother Nature when there's so much beauty in the little things? Appreciating winter means finding solace in the simple stuff, like a warm, raspy voice and an acoustic guitar.
Wasn't born. I just walked in one frosty morn into the vision.
Swedish troubadour, the tallest man on earth, hails from a land with winters that make ours look downright civilized by comparison. So he knows a thing or two about finding the good side of cold and dreary.
The shadow in the turning game. But I will fight this stranger that you should fear. So I won't be a burden of tomorrow to hear.
His most recent album, The Wild Hunt, revels in the sort of prettiness one finds on a bare tree covered in snow, and the melancholy of short days and long nights.
If you want my loving, if you really do.
So maybe you're too much of a realist to get all gung-ho about winter. You're not alone. In many ways, the holidays can be a time to let nature happen outside your window while you slowly eat yourself into a food coma indoors. For those that enjoy the season but hate the weather, the best road trip jams are going to be musical soul food. And who better to do the cooking than the Queen of Soul herself? Miss Aretha Franklin is as universally loved as Mom's apple pie and has twice the flavor. Why neglect the classic sing-alongs just because the windows are rolled up? The icy roads are going to require your full attention, so you'll want a familiar voice that can fade in and out of the background and keep passengers satisfied, no matter how old and unhip they are. But don't think I'm putting Aretha in a corner here. If your awful college car's heater breaks down, Baby I Love You will keep you warm the entire way home. So, we've discussed acceptance and denial as two possible methods for coping with winter. What else is left? Besides self-medication, which I'm sure you'll do a lot of anyways, the only other way to deal with winter is to get the hell out of Dodge and make a break for warmer, more exotic climates. That idea must have sounded pretty good to the members of Buffalo Moon, the Twin Cities' own Latin psychedelica band. Fresh off the recent release of their new album, Selva Surreal, the five-piece decided to take a band vacation to singer Karen Friere's native home of Ecuador. Intended as a way to play a few international shows, soak up the sun, and some of the Latin sounds that have inspired their music, Buffalo Moon is currently based in Guayaquil, with plans to visit Peru somewhere in the pipeline. Band's heady mix of trippy psych and bossa grooves sounds exactly nothing like winter, but that's just what you wanted, isn't it? Turn your stereo up loud enough to drown out the sound of the tire slush and the squeak of windshield wipers, and this album will transport you right out of this winter hellhole. Wonderland. For Culture Q, I'm Zach McCormick, telling you to drive safe no matter what the soundtrack is.
When you think about the job of working as a Santa Claus just from an economic standpoint, it's a really unique job. It's incredibly seasonal in that it comes but once a year, maybe twice if you count Christmas in July, and the Christmas season really only lasts about a month. Plus, people have a really narrow idea of what Santa Claus should look like. And then on top of everything else, there's the sensitive issue of handling lots of little children. It's not easy, but for somebody like Santa Tom, being Santa Claus comes from the heart.
I don't want to sound corny about it, but it does. It comes from the heart. You've got to have a desire to do it.
Santa Tom is your idea of Santa Claus. He's a big, jolly guy with everything from the bushy silver beard to the tiny spectacles that sit on the tip of his nose. And year-round, he's in festive attire. Now, for most of his life, Santa Tom has worked in real estate sales and marketing, so he knows a few things about how to sell being Santa. And this has led to lots of different jobs for him.
Everything from large major corporations, country clubs, restaurants, little cafes, home visits.
But in fact, when he was first starting out, to find gigs, he would go knocking door to door.
It was extremely tough. The economy was starting to fail, as we all know. In northern Minnesota, hit probably a little quicker, a little harder than down here in the Twin Cities. There weren't very many jobs. I just had three the first year.
A big break, though, came when a family friend offered to create a website for him.
Santa became a little bit more technologically up with the public, with everybody else, is when the growth of my business as a Santa started to blow.
But it's not over once you've got the website and, say, a job lined up. There's still how to handle all different kinds of kids in different Santa situations. There's times, he said, when kids come to his lap dealing with things like a death in the family that he has to be ready for.
In the last week, I have made a surprise stop to a family. The mother, grandmother, passed away. She and I had planned this surprise visit, but one of the family members kept me in touch as to when they'd be getting together. And, you know, and so I did that, and it gave some joy to the little kids.
Santa, as we all know, does not work alone. Besides his wife, Carol, whose birthday is on Christmas and therefore goes by Christmas Carol, Santa Tom is part of the Minnesota Santas Association. This last summer was a milestone for the group. They became an LLC, or a limited liability corporation. This allowed them to buy entertainer liability insurance. The association's secretary, Deborah Ann Gabralsik, explains why it's necessary to protect both Santa as well as the kids.
In case of an incident where, you know, perhaps a child squiggles off his lap or pulls away from him and maybe falls and hits their head. So it's a protection, number one, for that. But also, it's just a good thing to show that you are a professional and that you take your job seriously.
The group also does extensive background checks to make sure that nobody like convicted sex offenders end up in their group. So to recap, it's a very litigious world we live in. To work as Santa, you want to have insurance, and parents, when hiring a Santa Claus, want to know that you're not going to be a threat to children. The best way to meet both those demands is to work through some kind of Santa association. Finally, probably the most important thing you'll have to remember if you want to be a Santa Claus is that you have to be Santa. Santa Tom never shaves his beard, and he wears festive clothing the whole year round. It's to the point where he no longer thinks of what he does as a performance.
When you first start doing it, you may think of yourself a bit that way, and then all of a sudden, you kind of become more and more into the character. And most of us with the our group of Santas here in Minnesota dress in Santa shirts, and we're Santa for kids year-round.
So with this knowledge, go forth and pursue your dreams of becoming a Santa Claus and make lots of little kids happy. I'll leave you with these words from Santa Tom.
As long as there's a Santa in your heart, there'll always be a Santa. Ho, ho, ho!
For Culture Q, I'm Mark Sheely. That is all for our show tonight, and that is all for me here at Culture Q. I'll be graduating in just a few days, and producer Noel Clark will be taking over as host and managing editor of this fine show. I know that he'll do a great, great job. Contributors to this week's show were Matt Curtis, Marquita Fornoff, Mike Potter, Alex Van Ness, Noel Clark, myself, and Zach McCormick. Producers for Culture Q are Mitch Skinner, Noel Clark, Marquita Fornoff, and Amy Friedman. Our culture coach is Sarah Lemanchek, and host and managing editor has been me, Mark Sheely. You can find Culture Q on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. And if you miss something fascinating, you can always find recent episodes of Culture Q online at radiok.org. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you next week. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.